Well, good morning. So take your Bibles and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Self-discipline. That's a good topic for today. You don't see much of that, do we? Self-discipline. I'm going to read this passage starting in verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So this is the idea of that Paul's, this passage, this section here. He had the idea, and he's thinking about to Corinth in the Isthmian Games. So I want you to go back with me. We're going to take a trip today, and we're going to go back to A.D. 53. When in that southern part of Greece, outside of Corinth, they would have the Isthmian Games every 2 years, and before the Olympics, this would take place. It's named after the Isthmus of Corinth. It was held the year before and the year after the Olympic Games in Rome. Every 2 years, we see the athletes that have trained hard to be the best in that field. We see something else that is located just inside the track. It was a platform. On that platform was a seat where the judge would sit. And the seat was called the Bema seat, or the judgment seat. Every athlete reported to the seat after he participated in the games. He would feel the sting as he would hear he was disqualified for not keeping the rules. Regret or remorse and shame would overwhelm him. Others bypassed because they would not perform as they might or as they ought to. So they were bypassed. Others would receive a wreath of leaves that would be hung around their neck, notating their victory. They were victors. This is known as the judgment seat. And Paul tells us that we will all appear before the judgment seat. So today, this passage has to do with your run on this earth and how are you running to prepare for the judgment seat. So we see the purpose of discipline. The purpose of discipline. It's the race to run the race. He says, and run all. The intent behind that is that you run the whole race. No one enters a race not to win it. Anybody in here ever ran track? If you ran track, you didn't sign up to run track because you thought, I can't win this race. No, you sign up because you think, I can run. Now let's see if I can win this race. So we run to win. You don't jog. You don't get into this race and jog. You go all out to win. To win. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has a radio program. It's called Running to Win. I like that title, Running to Win. In verse 24, it says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. You give your all. You run the whole race. You don't stop. You don't quit. You have no time to quit. You run this race to obtain in the goal, to obtain the goal that you may obtain, he says. So run that you may obtain. If you're saved, you're in the race. You're in this race. It's a totally different matter to run and win the prize. But to merely enter the race is not enough. Don't be slow. Don't be sluggish, out of shape. You can't just cruise. You're in a race. It's your race. Everybody runs their own race in this Christian life. When I was in college, I ran cross country. I know y'all don't believe that. But when I ran, I didn't wear these to run in. You know, Paul goes to Hebrews and he talks about in chapter 12, let us lay aside every weight, whatever it is that's going to slow you down in this life, in this race for Christ, lay it aside. It might not be sin. But then he says, and also the sin that so easily beset us. Lay it all aside because we're running a race and our eyes are on him. We're aiming at a target. When a guy runs a race, he's not looking around behind him. He's looking at the finish line. He's running for the finish line because he wants to win. He wants to win that race. So to obtain the goal, And then the practice of discipline, To be temperate in all things. There must be purpose. There must be direction in our lives. Temperance means self-control. You run with your eyes on the goal, and your aim is to the goal. You're aiming for that goal. So you run. Nobody can run for you. Nobody can do that. It takes effort to run. You know, I don't run anymore because it takes effort. But people that get out and run, you know it takes time. It takes effort. It makes you sweat, which we need to do. There's nothing passive about running. There's nothing passive about the Christian life. God didn't save us just to sit. That's not why God saved us. God saves us to get in the race and run all. Run that race. Purposeful in all things. Purposeful. There was a saying that was back in a few years ago, and it goes like this. Let go and let God. That's not biblical. That's not true. Nowhere in the Bible can you see just let go, let God. You gain nothing by just sitting and watching. No, you must get moving. You got to get in the race. You must run that race. Go for the goal. Aim for the goal. Remember years ago that guy that picked up a fumble in a football game? And he picked it up and he ran all the way 50-something yards for a touchdown into the end zone to discover he was running the wrong way. He ran the wrong way. Run within the rules. There's rules in this game, in this Christian life. Controlled in all things. Controlled in all things. I keep my body. It's a boxing term that means to buffet one's body. To bring it into subjection. A disciplined life demands that our flesh is brought into subjection. With aim. Why? To please the judge. Not to please the crowd. But I want to please the judge. 2 Corinthians 5:9. It says that I may be accepted of him. That's why Paul says I run this race. And I'm going to stand before God so I can be accepted of him. That means to be well pleasing to him. To be well pleasing to him. So to focus on the finish, not the past. Don't look back at the past. Keep your eyes on the prize. Look forward. Straight ahead. To win the lost. Not gain the world. I'm not looking to gain the world. I'm to win the lost. Paul says in verse 19 of this same chapter, chapter 9, to win more in verse 19. I do what I do so I can win more. Verse 20 says, to win the Jews. I want to win the Jews. Verse 21 says, to win them without the law. That's the Gentiles. Verse 22, again, verse 22, to win the weak. And then he says, I'm all things to all people so I can win some. I want to win the lost to Christ. That's what it's all about. My running this race is I want to bring people with me, get them on that track to run. And it's to glorify God himself, to glorify him. So run to win, run with aim, run with purpose. And he says in verse 26, he has that idea of boxing. Not beating the air, he says. He's not talking about shadow boxing. But he says, I beat my body into subjection. It's the denial of self. You deny self. Denial of Christian liberties. You ever hear somebody say, when somebody says, oh, I don't think you ought to do that. Where's that in the Bible? It's not wrong. Well, no, but does it hurt your testimony? Does it hurt your testimony? Then don't do it. We have certain liberties that we have, like the eating of meat that Paul talked about in Corinthians. He said, I don't eat the meat. I don't want to offend a Christian brother, a younger Christian. So you deny certain things. Are you on track today? Are you going in the right direction? As you box in the Christian life, is your life connecting? Or are you just shadow boxing? You ever fought, wrestled, or boxed? It's good to connect. Few reasons. Because you don't miss and go all the way through and have all that energy that hits nothing. Then there's the principle of disqualification in verse 27. You see, it's possible to start the race and along the way to become disqualified. Here's what he is not saying. He's not saying that he feared he would lose his salvation. He's not saying that. That's impossible. If you're saved today, it's impossible for you to lose your salvation. It's eternal life, everlasting life. So run that race. And then he's not saying, I'm not certain if I'm saved or not. No, he's not talking about that. Paul says, I'm persuaded. Are you persuaded that you know the Lord? 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you, that ye may know that you have eternal life. That's settled. Here's what he is saying. He didn't want to unqualify as a preacher of the gospel of Christ. He's qualified. He didn't want to become unqualified and be set aside. He is saying it's a loss of qualification for ministry. And then he could fall into certain sins also that would disqualify him in the eyes of the flock. Paul says, I don't want to do that. He don't want you to do that either. The Lord don't want us to fall into a sin that disqualifies me from being effective in my witness. See, you end the race, but you lose the reward. You lose the reward. You become a stumbling block, disobedient. There's an example given about Moses. He struck that rock. God told him to speak to it. He struck it twice. See, he was disqualified from going into the promised land because he didn't obey God. Some will stand there with nothing to do, nothing to lay at Jesus' feet. You'll stand there in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. It talks about, it gives a metaphor of our standing before God as a builder that builds and he builds and he builds. And his life that he builds on, that foundation that he builds on, he builds with wood, hay, and stubble, things that won't last. Are the things you're doing for Christ, is it things that will last? Are you singing to bring glory to him? Are you living your life to bring glory to him? That's gold, silver, and precious stone. That's those things that will last. Don't you want to have things that will last so you can stand before God one day and he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So then we have, I got to get to my book here. So verse 27. I discipline my body. It means to hit beneath the eye. To beat black and blue. That's what he's talking about. To buffet. Who is the opponent in our race? Who is the opponent? It's your body. It's your body that says, "I don't want to do this. I don't want to discipline myself." It's not the devil. It's not the world. The problem's the heart. It's a heart problem. Romans chapter 7 talks a lot about that. Paul says, the things that I want to do is the things that I don't do. And the things that I shouldn't do is the things that I do, oh wretched man that I am. Paul says, I have to beat it down. I'm not trying to please the flesh, to satisfy evil desires. No. Living in ease. Should we be doing that? Pampered. Satisfying the flesh. Baby in the flesh. No, he says, you mortify the flesh. That means to put it to death. That sin that's in your life, get rid of it. Lay it aside. Sin will enslave you. It'll keep your body under its control. And Paul says, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be disqualified, is what he's saying. An unfit vessel. Paul got on the track and he ran the race. And he ran in such a way to win. You see, the same track that Paul is on and that Brother Tyler is on and Dr. Barber is on and all these others that we look up to, we're on the same track. We're all running that same race. And see, it's your race. You can receive that crown that fadeth not away. Because how you lived your life, how you disciplined your life, self-control in your life. And that's what God wants for us, to be controlled in our life. There's people that's run in these races, and you see it all the time. People cheat. You know, we play this game at home. Families come over and nerds, it's a card game. He's cheating Christian people. cheating at games, you know. That's because I lose. They got to be cheating, right? People cheat to win. During the 1936 Berlin Olympics, The German finished fourth in the women's high jump. They said, we got to do better than that. So in 1938, they set the high jump record by Dora, R-A-T-J-E-N. She set the record. But then they discovered that Dora was a man. Today in our society, they don't even cover it up. The men run with the girls. Isn't that ridiculous? How's your race going? How's your race going? So to sum all this up, the denying of self, self-discipline, dying to self. Let's sum it up as Paul wrote this to the believers. You see, because he said in Hebrews, they're cheering us on, those in chapter 11. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, they're cheering you on this race that you're running. So he says, lay aside the besetting sins and those things that hinder you. Lay it all aside and run that race. Get rid of the luggage. We can't be passive and complacent in this race. We must pursue holiness with all of our might, every waking moment. The devil never lets up. And that's why that breastplate was given. It speaks of holy living. It guarded your heart and your bowels. And it speaks of, the heart speaks of your mind, controlling your mind, guarding your mind. And then your emotions, the bowels of compassion, Paul talks about. So it guarded those two areas of that Roman soldier. And that's what guards you in your Christian life, is that breastplate of righteousness, of holy living. Are you living a holy life? Every waking moment. You see, it's a marathon for the rest of your life. It's a marathon. You fight. You're in a race. The word is agon. It's agony. It indicates pain in this race. Difficulties in the Christian life. Sacrifices. Sweat. Suffering. So it's not passive. The Christian life is not a passive life. Why am I sick? I don't know. But glorify Him. Keep running the race, looking to Him. Maybe you've heard people say that word, let go and let God. Just tell them that's not biblical. Our Christian race should be a race that we're running with all of our heart. So when I stand before God, I can receive that crown of righteousness, of holy, for holy living, resisting temptation, striving for that holiness. Flee worldliness as we discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. He says we buffet our body and we make it our slave as we fight the good fight, as we follow after Christ, as we take up our cross and we move out in this Christian life. See, you're not on a Sunday drive. You ever see those people out when you're trying to get to work and they're on a Sunday drive? Your Christian life shouldn't be like that. No, it's uphill. Oftentimes you say, it seems like I'm not getting anywhere. I'm running uphill. It's uphill. You're pressing forward. You're stretching your stride. When I ran cross country, I never won. There's too many fast guys out there. But I always put my eye on the guy in front of me. I said, I'm going to catch that guy. And I'd catch up with him, pass him. I'm going to catch that next guy. And that's how I did it. I'm going to pass this guy. You had to stretch. You had to push forward, resisting the world, resisting the temptations, fleeing worldliness and all those things. As we follow after Christ, as we take up our cross and we move out in the Christian life, our stride, our stretching, picking up our knees, pumping our knees, pressing through the pain. You're moving forward. You're not remaining. You're not taking it easy. You're not giving up. Don't give up. Don't give up in the race. Keep pushing forward. We take decisive steps in our Christian life. Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. Do you have those decisive steps that you're taking? You're moving forward in order to advance in godliness, in holiness. So I must discipline myself. That's that word temperance, self-control. So I discipline myself in prayer, in God's word, in worshiping Him, coming to church, in serving, in witnessing, in our giving. We're laboring in prayer. We're digging into the word. That's what running involves. It involves all those things. Repenting of sin, getting it out of your life, resisting sin, mortifying the flesh. We can't allow sin to trip us up, so we lay it aside. It's time to let this world go. It's time to quit following after the things of the world. Because what does it do? It trips you up. It causes you to stumble. Then it causes others behind you to stumble. Who's behind me? Your children, your grandchildren, they're all watching you. Your friends, your church family, they're watching you. How's your race going? You go for God. Because those in heaven, there's people cheering you on. Read that list in chapter 11 of Hebrews. Because there's coming a day when we will stand before the Creator of all things, the one who stood on nothing one day and He spoke and worlds came into existence, the one who came to this earth and died for me, the one who loves me, Jesus, He's the one that's seated at the Bema seat, the judge of heaven and earth. And every runner in this race will stand before the judge, the Lord of heaven. And you'll stand alone. You'll stand as though there was no other runner in the race or on the track. Our entire life will come into review at the Bema seat. Hey, no sin will be mentioned. No sin before you were saved. Not even sin while you were saved. And not even unconfessed sin will be mentioned at the Bema seat. By the time a believer reports to the Bema seat, he's already been perfected. So what will be made known? Paul uses the word manifest. What will be made manifest that day? It's the essential character of a servant of Jesus Christ. What is your character like? You see, as sinners, the believer is judged at the cross. What you do with the cross, if you reject what Jesus did for us, there's no hope. But if you receive what he did for you at the cross, there is hope. So as a sinner, the believer is judged at the cross. As children of God, the believer is judged during his life on this earth. You say, well, I've sinned. Okay? Confess it. Confess it to God. But you see, my sin, I'm going to be judged for it here on earth. God's going to correct me. If you belong to him, he's going to correct you. And I do belong to him. Do you belong to him today? But at the judgment seat, the believer is judged as a servant. As a servant. What did you do for Jesus on this earth while you're here? That's what this judgment is about. How did you live for me? That's what he's going to ask. Did we pursue holiness? Did we turn our back on the world? We should. Or did we walk right across to the edge of the world and following God? Let me get right over here. I don't want to be a fanatic, you know, and look. So I'm not going to get way over here in the middle. I'm going to get on the edge. Did we invest our life in the things of God? What do we invest in? You know, we invest in a lot of different things, sports and fishing and all kinds of things that we invest in. How are we investing in the things of God? Did we press on like running up that hill and you're having to dig in? You had to pump your arms. It's hard. You're sweating because you're looking for that finish line. Your aim is on that finish line. You're pressing forward in your life. Because you want to hear him say, as the judge sits there and he takes that Stephanos, it's the crown. He'll take that crown of life, that Stephanos, and he'll place it on your head. For all those who ran the race to win. And he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Do you want to hear God say that? Well done. So we run our race. You're running this race in your life as a believer, as a Christian. Are you keeping it within the rules? Is there sin in your life that you need to get, put it aside? Are there other things in your life that's not necessarily sin that we could put it aside to keep us from causing a stumbling block to others? Run the race looking to Jesus. Paul said, the author and finisher of our faith, looking to him. So how's it going? How's your race going? I want to have that Jesus to say to me, well done. And I want to receive that crown. But he said there's those that will stand there and they'll receive nothing. And he says they're saved, yet so is by fire. Everything's burned up. All their good things that they think they've done. All the things that they've done for Jesus. It wasn't for him. And it's burned up. And there's nothing left. There's no gold. There's no silver. Precious stone. It's all gone. And you're saved. But you have nothing to lay at his feet. I think it's going to be a sad time for us as believers. It's going to be a sad day when we have nothing to lay at his feet. That crown's not for me. It's for him. How's your race going? How are you running? Self-discipline. Self-discipline, that's what we need to, that's what we need in our life, is to discipline ourselves. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you today, Lord, for this passage that Paul's telling us about, this race that we're to run. Running to win. Lord, that should be our motto. That should be our goal, is to run to win. Well, we want to win in this life that we're going through as a believer. Lord, help us to be effective in our walk, in our witness, in our praying, in your word. Lord, help us to not be a stumbling block to those that are behind us, those that see us, Lord, because we're running this race for you, and we discipline ourselves. We buffet ourselves, our flesh, keeping it in subjection, so we won't become disqualified, a castaway. Lord, we don't want that in our life. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, and I pray that you'll bless this service this morning. Be with those that may not know you, that they would trust you today. In Christ's name, amen.